afternoon, VI. No, not VI anyone, not VI podcasting. Anyway, that's me. Good afternoon, it's VI podcasting. That would help. And you're listening to me on day 9, I think it is, of February 2015. Today, as far as I know, and that's the inference I've been picking up, is that we're talking about judgment, being judged, maybe, judging, maybe. And I think quite often the focus is on the person doing the judging, but it's not so regularly on the person being judged, because often people who are being judged, well, a few things can happen. I think either the person being judged can feel that the judging isn't justified. So, for example, I don't know, if you're gay or something, you know, often you can be judged by people in certain situations, even still. And that's awful, because why do you need to be judged anyway? And that, you know, that's a difficult situation for one to be in. You can't be what you're not. So therefore, how can judging you be worth anything? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything, does it? I mean, so there's that angle. You know, you can be judged for something that you haven't done, or you can be judged for something, as I said, that just isn't anything you can do about yourself. It's who you are, but you hold a particular belief, or you are a particular way. And that's that. I'm just going to turn this down. And then there's the other type of judgment where, because you feel judged, you feel condemned. Condemnation often comes with judgment, doesn't it? And that's mostly what people mean, I think, when they talk about judgment. But to talk about that person, that from the perspective of the person who is being judged, who feels judged, who may, as I said, be any of those two things, either of those two things. Things I'd like to focus on is being judged. Well, I suppose the other one is I'm right. It's being judged either for what you can't help being, and you know you are, or there's the being judged for the, but not being able to do anything about it, not being able to respond. You feel caught, and that's the person who perhaps is being judged for something they've done that is wrong, or that is difficult to get out of once one has got oneself into it. And I think, I wasn't sure when I started doing this how much I was going to say, and I'm still not, and I'm not sure whether I'll end up doing this again. I feel judged quite a bit at the moment, and I have done for the last couple of years, because I left my wife, and it was a very difficult situation, which I won't go into now to protect everyone concerned. You know, even 2 years on, I'm still reaping the, or no, reaping? I'm not reaping anything. I'm not suffering exactly, but I'm still at the end of sort of repercussions of that. And in telling the story, I guess I'm trying to ask that you don't judge too much either when you hear some of this. You know, that things were difficult. I, in the end, left. We were both responsible for stuff that we shouldn't have done. My thing, very, very headliney, was a moral situation, really. You know, having an affair, I think, comes under that moral category, or immoral, but you know what I mean. It was a moral issue, and I did, as a reaction to all that was going on, and it's horrible, because you feel firstly that your position is justified. This is quite common, and then you eventually feel that you're addicted, stuck stuck in a situation that you find it difficult to get out of. You know that people are going to find out. You know that people are going to get hurt. You know that your integrity for that chapter in your life is being compromised, but you also feel stuck. And I think some of the people have already highlighted the difference between being judged and the judgment of a situation. And I thank God quite literally for people that were able to separate the judging of the situation, i.e. Paul, you know this situation isn't any good for you, do you? You know that this can't carry on. You know that it will lead to destruction and despair and hurt and compromise, further compromise, is very different to judging you as a person. And it gives you the opportunity to get out. You have to sometimes, you know that thing where sometimes people put their hands together and they help you up over a wall? It's that. You have to be lifted by other people sometimes, so they can judge the situation, maybe, but they don't need to judge you. Yes, I had, blimey, this, you're really in your ear, aren't you? You know, of course I had those sort of comments, but those were from people that also delivered grace. And I think for anyone to judge a situation successfully, they have to judge a person graciously. And this can apply to anything you want to apply it to in terms of a person's wrongdoing or a person's misguided direction or whatever. And I wouldn't go as far to say that my life was saved by a few people who didn't judge me but help me through the situation. Those people I will be forever grateful for in my life, because they were able to in effect see the wood for the trees, and they were able to be those hands under my feet or my bottom or whatever lifting me up out of a situation so that I could see the wood for the trees. Somebody actually said to me, and this is in a Christian context, but that's who I am, so I'm going to talk like that for a little bit as well, peppered within this conversation. When I said I was so scared that you would judge me, this person, he's a pastor, he's someone who I still remember and love dearly, and said, I would rather God send me or sort of, tell me off, as it were, for being too gracious than for being too judgmental. In other words, he knew that you could get a telling off for being too judgmental. There's the parable of the servant, isn't there? And the one servant owed a little amount and the other servant owed a massive amount. Man went to the master, said, the master said, pay me now, he said, I haven't got the money. He said, okay, I'll let you off. And then massive amount servant went to little amount servant because he was owed money. The little amount servant owed the big amount servant the money. And he went to him and said, give me your money, pay what you owe. Little servant said, I can't pay you. And his debt was infinitesimally small compared to the debt he'd just been let off by the master himself. And he didn't. He said, no, you go to the debtor's prison. Master found out because the other servants in his employ were saddened by this and distressed. So the master said, no, you have judged harshly too much, so you'll be judged. Now you go to prison until you can pay. That's what we're up against, folks, and that parable can apply anywhere. So I would rather be too gracious than too judgmental, I think. I would rather err on the side of that caution. We have to judge situations, but we don't have to judge people. And we have to stop and think sometimes and, count to 10 or whatever it is we do. And that's my story, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I'm thinking again about people that brought me up, people that are still my friends now. But I've lost a few along the way. I've lost people that, for example, would make contact with me I don't know, maybe in the hope of thinking that I'm going to restore my old situations. But I'm not, because, you know, I had to make in the end, once I've seen the wood for the trees, I had to make very difficult decisions that I should have made before, or situations even that I shouldn't have got into in the first place. And ultimately then the question is, do I feel judged by my God? No, I don't. I cleaned up my act and didn't enter into a new situation until the old was finished and completely so. And here I am standing, or sitting actually, because I'm in Dogshed Recording Studio. There's a lot more I could say here, but I think I've come to a point where I have said enough. I hope and pray even that this all makes sense to you all, and that it may even help some of you. Yeah, by all means, judge a situation, but isn't it better to be the person that's lifting that person so they can see the wood for the trees, lifting their head, helping them to raise their expectations and to be elevated in a way that they've not felt elevated or even feel able to be elevated because of this heavy burden they carry. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I've heard the still small voice, you know, where in my head saying, you know, I release you from that burden. You know, sound like a preach, isn't it? I hope it doesn't. I hope that you can take it with the way it's meant. And if it means nothing to you at this time, then good. That's really good. But, you know, it might do one day. So the song I want to play out before I go, it's called You Are All in All. It's a song that I run to every so often. Haven't had to for a while, but nevertheless it's a song that I love. It's called You Are All in All. It's by the second chapter of Acts. And if nothing else, the guy's got a mighty pair of lungs on him. It's absolutely brilliant. This song is going to be about 1986 maybe, somewhere around there. So a good 37 years old, something like that. Anyway, unbelievable. Is that right? No, 2017. Yeah, all right, you know what I mean. 20 and something. But I hope you enjoy it, and I will speak to you all soon. Thank you very, very much for listening.
With that morning, you're there. coming King. You're the giver of life, the song I sing. I will always look to you, always run to you. I'll always hold to the truth, always wait for you. And you call me like the morning, with the morning you're there, and you speak to me the words that set me free. Oh, how I long to be more like you, and you stay so close as my closest friend, and there's no the one I know in whom I can depend. Oh, you are all in all. You're the morning star. You're my King. You're the song in my heart. I long